Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich with the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It is July 8th, 2018, and of course I wish everyone had a wonderful Independence Day holiday. And, you know, when we think about independence and the independence that we have in this country, this beautiful country that we live in, let us think about our religious independence that we have in this country, which is so beautiful. You know, I myself, partial to the Catholic Church, and of course I'm a deacon in the Catholic Church, I've been ordained in the Catholic Church, but there is so much beauty on this path that we walk, no matter what religion that we're in, or whatever we're praying, or whatever spirituality, that hopefully we're trying to make that connection with God, And this time of year is a beautiful time to do that, of course, with nature, which is sometimes the first step towards God. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Garden of Eden today. We're going to talk about theology of the body. If you ever have a chance to look that up on the internet, we'll talk about that near the end of the program. But theology of the body, by St. Pope John Paul II and his 129 different speeches that he does on that. And we're going to be talking about that nonstop for the next couple of years here on our radio program, in addition to the scripture readings for the day too. So we're glad you're with us. So let us get started and get right into the scripture readings. These are the Mass readings that are read at Mass at Catholic churches throughout the world on this very day. And our first reading is from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 2:2-5. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart, and they to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whenever they heed or resist, and whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading is from 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. That's 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weakness, in order that the power of Christ may dwell within me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, another beautiful reading there. And we're going to go back and recap all these readings once we get through them. So our next reading, our gospel reading, is from the Gospel of Mark 6:1-6. That's the Gospel of Mark 6, 1 through 6. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him, that mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some powerful scriptures for us today, my brothers and sisters, for us to meditate on and think about. And in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlecker here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and this is an outreach of the Catholic Church from the Diocese of Kalamazoo, inviting you to come home, inviting you to come back home to the Church. And is the Church perfect? Not by any means. Has there been mistakes over the last 2,000 years? Absolutely. As long as there will be people in the Church, there will be problems. And there's problems in all organizations, places of business. But the devil has always attacked people of faith, especially people who have strong faith. And the scripture readings today are quite poignant. You know, Ezekiel is receiving his mission from our first reading. The church doesn't have any exact teaching on this scripture, but it is very beautiful for all of us to meditate on, you know, having the Spirit enter into us. And of course, the Spirit enters into us in a very profound and real way at baptism. So if you have not been baptized, get baptized. If you haven't baptized your children, get your children baptized. Do not ignore this fact that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world full of chaos. And letting Jesus Christ come into our lives, letting the Holy Spirit come into us, letting this Spirit into us and setting us on our feet, saying, not just sitting around aimlessly waiting for time to go by until the point of when we die. No. But to get on our feet and do something. Make something of our lives so that we have a story to tell for eternity. Because my brothers and sisters, we will spend eternity one place or the other, heaven or hell. And much of this is really our choice. Yes, God draws us. Yes, God's grace, and we will see that. Yes, God's grace is such a powerful source of it. But the maintenance of our spiritual condition is very much dependent upon ourselves. We must take action. We must take action. In case you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church or being baptized, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo, diokzoo.org. Another great source for information is holyfamilyradio.net. A lot of great Catholic programming. And, of course, EWTN.com. EWTN, of course, is on TV as well. Well, let's go right into 2 Corinthians, what the church teaches on 2 Corinthians. Really a great passage that many people talk about, this thorn in the flesh. This thorn that Paul has been given. And I'll read a little reading here from the Catechism. which is quite profound. Let's see, it's 268 of the Catechism. But God's power is God's power is in loving. You hear that? God's power is in loving. Now that might be hard for us, isn't it? That's difficult for us. You know? Talk to many people and I ask them, you know, people who belong to groups, right? You're in a certain group of people. You know, you all think the same. Maybe you even all look the same. And that's not always good for us. You know, this is a beautiful country, a great country of great diversity, which I think which makes this country so great. Even to have people who don't believe in God at all gives us some of us people who do believe in God, who do believe in Jesus Christ and the fullness of the church, the fullness of the beauty and the grace of the sacraments, gives us people to work on, right? So I often say that, you know, that yes, you know, let the people come from all over the world, come here to America, and yes, you choose God. Choose the God that you wish to follow. But then you have to ask yourself, is it God I am following? Or is it just an organization? Or is it just a political group? Or is it a group of people who this is what they want for themselves in their personal lives? You know, I want to be able to get divorced, or I want to be able to have five wives, or I want to be able to beat my children, or I want to be able to do anything I want to do. I want to be able to sin. I want to be able to live a sinful lifestyle and still belong to a church. See? They exist, my brothers and sisters. These churches exist. These synagogues, these mosques exist. And the question we all have to ask ourselves, you know, to thine own self be true, am I truly following God? Am I following God? Do I have a thorn? Like Paul here. See? I mean, Paul's got a thorn. Everyone has a thorn. You should have a thorn. If you don't have a thorn, if you're just as comfortable as can be, it's not good. We need to be a little uncomfortable. And we need to be having things to work on. And we need to know that we can be, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the grace of God Almighty, through the power and the grace of the sacraments, baptism, the Holy Eucharist, confirmation, our wedding vows, our ordination, being ordained, all of these things, anointing of the sick, all of these things strengthen us to be the people that God wants us to be. So let me read this about God's power is in loving. Loving. God's power is in loving. 268. So let me read this real quick. So this is quite deep. So think deeply. Think deep thoughts as I read this. Because this is very... And it's about the Almighty. It's about Almighty God and how God thinks. And as we talked last week, you know, a lot of people say, well, God did this or God did that. And usually it's because someone has died in our lives. And we're mad at God about that. My brothers and sisters, God did not invent death. Death entered the world through the devil and envy and Satan. Okay? Death. And now death continues even with us, you know, in many different aspects. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. You know, we don't pray. We don't go to church. We don't say we're sorry. We hate this group or that group. We don't want to love as God loves. Because God loves. So here we go from 268. Of all the divine attributes, only God's omnipotence is named in the Creed. To confess this power has great bearing on our lives. We believe that His might is universal. For God, who created everything, also rules everything and can do everything. God's power is loving. For He is our Father. And mysteriously, for only faith can discern it when it is made perfect in weakness. Is that fantastic? It's made perfect in weakness. When we surrender, when we say, God's will, not mine be done. God's will, not mine be done. The prayer I say every morning, God's will, not mine be done. You know, just as Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, asking the Lord, if this cup can pass from me, let it be. But thy will, not mine be done. And that is how, my brothers and sisters, to live most perfectly this spiritual life that we're on. So also, this faith that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, that only faith can embrace the mysterious ways of God's almighty power. This faith glories in weakness in order to draw itself, in order to draw itself in Christ's power. The Holy Spirit also gives us some of a special charism of healing. That being able to heal people, being able to lay hands on people, being able to pray over people, being able to anoint people, being able to baptize people, being able to just pray for people, to intercede for them. You know, do you think about that? Do you ever do that? Get on your knees. You don't realize the power of your baptism. And if you haven't been baptized, get baptized. But the power of your baptism to intercede for your brothers and sisters. Literally your brothers and sisters. To intercede for your neighbors. To get down on your knees and ask God, dear God, please help my neighbor. Please help them in their time of loss. I pray for them that you intercede for them. I know that they have very little faith. I don't know whether they go to church or not. I don't think they do. But please help them, Lord. Please help them and give them some relief. Show them your love and your mercy. But your will, not mine, be done. You can do that. I can do that. And I do that. But you can do that every single day. Every moment of every day, you can do that. Pray for people. Instead of cursing people, pray for them. Give them a blessing. That's what I try to do. Instead of yelling at the driver that you see, you know, cutting you off in traffic, give them the sign of the cross, a gentle sign of the cross. It doesn't even have to be visible. It can be down below, you know, where they can't even see you, blessing them. Say a little prayer for them. God help them. They must be in a hurry going to the hospital, or they're going to McDonald's because they're very hungry. People are in chaos. People are in chaos. Sometimes real, sometimes imagined. But they're still in chaos. We need to try to get back to going to church on a regular basis. And then our gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark. Very powerful. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place accompanied by his disciples. See, so he's in Nazareth, his native place, right? And he can't heal anyone. And look at this stuff. They were admiring his doctrine. They said, Where did he get all this? And then what do they do? The people who don't like him, the people who took offense to him, the people who were scandalized by him, what do they say?
he's just a carpenter. He's just the son of... Is he not the carpenter? The son of Mary. He's just another guy, right? He says he's got all these brothers and sisters. We hear people, they're his relatives, but they're not his actual blood brothers and sisters. And actually, there's also the part here too where these are Jesus's cousins. So they use words in today's English language. They use words brothers and sisters. But there are other Christian churches who believe Jesus had brothers and sisters, that Mary had a whole flock of children. Well, that's not what the true church teaches. That's not what the Catholic Church teaches. Mary had one child. One child, Jesus Christ. One child. That's the truth. And you look at this scripture, and who says the people who don't like Jesus, the people who hate Jesus, are the ones who are trying to minimize his divinity by saying, oh, he's just a carpenter. These are all of his brothers and his sisters. He's just a regular person. He's no big deal. See, my brothers and sisters, because that's what happens when you start to believe false doctrines. And you believe these false doctrines, that it's not a virgin birth, that it's not, that Jesus' mother is not Mary, the one who is mentioned in the Old Testament, that she is the one. She is the chosen virgin to give birth to this one child. And you start to believe that, you take away Jesus' divinity. And the next thing you know, you don't even have a Savior. The devil is very crafty. So my brothers and sisters, be careful who you listen to, right? But for some 1800 years, it's been that way. Just in the last couple hundred years has this drumbeat of, you know, Jesus had brothers and sisters, actual brothers and sisters, has begun in a lot of Protestant churches and Bible churches. And it's just not so. It's just not so. Even Luther didn't believe that. So the sons of another Mary, that's also what is called for on this too, and also cousins and relatives of Jesus. The hand of Jesus heals the sick and blesses little children by laying hands on them. And then finally this, Jesus is saddened by the lack of faith of his own neighbors. And the little faith of his disciples. So in some ways sad, in other ways comforting. You know, because we all have those moments where we lack, our faith is lacking. But you know, my brothers and sisters, we have to be careful who we listen to. We have to be careful who we're talking with and things like that. But I want to get into this theology of the body. Theology of the body that Saint Pope John Paul II taught, these 129 different teachings that he did on Wednesday afternoons. And so this is during the general audience at St. Peter's Square on Wednesday evening, the 19th of September, Pope John Paul II gives this following address. And this is all in regards to, this is the second account of creation, the subjective definition of man. And I'm only going to read one paragraph out of like six paragraphs. So to get the full thing on this, you need to go to EWTN's website and search for Theology of the Body, Theology of the Body, Pope John Paul. It can be said that it is profound profundity that in its own, that it is of a nature subjectively and therefore is certainly psychological. The second chapter of Genesis constitutes in a certain manner the most ancient description of record of man's self-knowledge. Together with the third chapter, it is the first testimony of human consciousness, a reflection in depth on this text through the whole architect form of the narrative,
which manifests its primitive mythological character, provides us with a nuclear and nearly all the elements of the analysis of man, to which modern and especially contemporary psychology, anthropology, is sensitive. It could be said that Genesis 2 presents the creation of man especially in its subjective aspect. Comparing both accounts, we conclude that this subjectivity corresponds to the objective reality of man's created in the image of God. This fact also is, in another way, important for the theology of the body, as we see in our subsequent analyses. And so, please go read this, you know, and get used to the big words too, because Pope John Paul always spoke in these very, very deep thinker, okay, very deep thinker. And you have to read like 10 paragraphs and you got to read it over and over and over again. So you're not going to get it just from listening to me say this to you. This has to be read and meditated on, So you can go to EWTN.com and search for Theology of the Body, Pope John Paul II. And lastly, my brothers and sisters, I just want to mention to you, you know, with today's scripture readings, you know, think about this, a thorn that you may have, you know, and sometimes we take these things, you know. I've mentioned many times, you know, that I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I still go to meetings. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you take a thorn that you have, when you have an ailment that you have, or you have, a hardship that has happened in your life, and you can share that, with another person, you take that weakness, that perceived weakness. And of course, there's some people, you know, you don't want to share it with, you know. I've had people say to me, you know, you don't need to bring up the fact that you're an alcoholic. Just stop bringing that up. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's still people dying from alcoholism and drug addiction this very day. And many times it's because people are afraid to share it. They're afraid to share their weaknesses. They're afraid to share their frailties. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we need to do that. Not that you want to, you know, publicly tell people what all your sins are, but when you see another person struggling, share your story. Be a witness. That's part of being a Christian. Share your experience, strength, and hope. Be a man. Be a woman. Be a real person. Not just a turtle, you know, hiding in your shell all the time. Be part of the community. Be part of your community. Be a good neighbor. Pray for your brothers and sisters, even if you're afraid to share your own story. You know, get involved in a group of people who are suffering, people who are in grief, you know, over the dying of a loved one. Get into a group that talks about it. There's many groups in the areas around that talk about all the different problems we have, all the different struggles we have. So my brothers and sisters, as we go through this week, let us pray. Let us grow in Christ's love and mercy and grace. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters and all those who have gone before us. And may Almighty God bless you all and bless all of your families. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.